You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, I'm Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
And we are ready to have a great conversation with you guys about first half parenting.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. You make me giggle every time I look at you. You make me grin.
Nice.
I'm back. I don't know. I've been gone for about a month.
Uh-huh.
Did some training. If you don't know, I'm in the military in Alaska. And we went way up north. It was super, super cold. At one point, it was negative 45 with a real feel of negative 60. And that was an experience I'll never forget. And so today I'm super glad to be sitting in my nice warm house. Feels good.
Yeah, you weren't out in the cold the whole time.
I wasn't like every single day, every single hour, but I was outside in that cold. It was freezing.
It was really cold.
So we were up there and some guy came up to me because it got up to like, I mean, it was really cold, but then it started climbing up. I think it hit like actually 20 degrees. And he said, it is so cold, it's almost freezing. Or so warm, it's almost freezing.
Oh.
I killed it. Wait a minute. He said, he looked at me, he said, it's so warm, it's almost freezing. Because it was almost.
At negative 30. I mean, at 32.
It was almost 32. Right. Yeah. So anyway, something like that.
Yes.
It was better when he said it.
It was very cold. Yeah, we had cold. I mean, you were up north. We had probably the coldest it's been in Anchorage. I mean, it was the coldest. It wasn't here in Anchorage.
Yeah.
Like, I think we hit a negative, maybe 25, 7, something like that. It was really cold.
It was everything you think Alaska would be.
Yes.
So, anyways. Yes. Well, hey, listen. Today we're going to kick off a multi-part series, and we're just going to talk about the significance of teaching your kids to listen and to learn through listening. It's a really big deal. So, I don't know, you guys probably remember at some point when you were a kid, your parents would always talk about, well, when I was a kid, we had to walk to school and it was snowing.
The snow was like 5 feet high.
It's ridiculous.
The telephone poles, remember that?
No, it's stupid, man.
But
now if you're a parent, you're probably saying the same thing to your kid. Like, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones. When I was a kid, we didn't have, our phones were connected to the wall with a wire.
Yeah. Right? You need to actually, like, it's so funny because when we talk about that with our kids, they're like, what is
your phone was connected to the wall?
No, but they were like, where did you, like, what third world country did you live in?
Yeah, no, they, well, like, literally, I mean, we were telling them at one point, like, we didn't have internet when we were kids, right? And they, there was a point where one of our kids looked at me and said, when you were a kid, did they have color?
Yeah.
Because he thought, you know, when they see old TV shows, something's all black and white, and they're like, when you were a kid, did they have color?
Oh, it was so funny.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyways. But you know, there's things do change as we, as each generation comes along. With new generation comes new changes. But I will tell you, there is a significant change that's happened from the time that you and I were kids, until the time of our kids and your kids as you listen.
Yes.
Back when we were kids, everyone was talking. Right, everybody talked, right? But not everyone had equal access to the public.
Yes.
Right, so, like, if I had an opinion, I would just, you know, I'd share it with my buddy, share it with my neighbor.
Your circle of friends.
Share it with my circle of friends, and that's all about all the further that it would go, right? It's different these days, though, because everyone is still talking. That's not new. What is new is that virtually everyone has access to powerful broadcasting tools.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, a massive, massive influence in the last election and even this election is social media.
Yeah.
You know, X, which is formerly known as Twitter, or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or like
Snapchat.
Snapchat to some extent. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
A lot of kids are on Snapchat.
But I mean, these are being used by world leaders.
Yeah.
And the same platform that world leaders are using to communicate their message, my teenager can get on.
Yes.
Or my middle schooler can get on. And they have that much. It's crazy. There's a whole new category of employment. When we were kids, we never heard anything about influencers.
Right, right.
Right? And now there's a whole new category of employment called influencers. And that's simply someone who gets on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or yes. and they talk.
Yep.
They just talk. They say things. They share their opinions about clothes or makeup or shoes or cars or politics or
and our kids sports. Are listening.
And our kids are listening. In
Absolutely.
Fact, probably at some point one of your kids has said, "Hey, I want to be an influencer
yes.
when I grow up." And
yep.
and all that is them talking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what I want my kids to know, and I want your kids to know this too, is just because you have a stage and just because people are listening to you does not mean that you're worth listening to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when you and I were kids, right, lots of people would talk and, you know, silly people would be ignored. And the problem is now is that silly people have a platform that is huge. People can listen and to people saying silly things, things that they don't agree with, right? And their children are listening to those people speak as well. And so I guess what we want to really dig into today is this idea is that just because someone can be heard does not mean they're worth listening to.
Right. I mean, we've had to have that conversation with our girls. Like, they found some influencers on YouTube and just, remember that? Followed yeah. and followed and followed. And, you know, I mean, it eventually was to the place where you and I had to be like, we are not going to, we're going to have to like ream in that influencer because it was so impactful on them. And I don't know that we really truly wanted that to have such an impact on them.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So I know if you've listened to this podcast for a minute, you'll know that the book of Proverbs has been important for us as we've developed our parenting philosophy. It's been one of the important mm-hmm. Inputs. And Proverbs 18, verse 2, says that fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions, right? And there are a lot of people speaking today who are not interested in understanding. They just want to air their own opinions.
Right.
The problem with that is my kids can hear that.
Yes.
They can tune into someone who has no appreciation for understanding or no appreciation for growth or development. They just want to air their own opinion.
Yes.
And so I think on that, babe, let's just camp out and let's talk a little bit about social media and kids. How did we handle with our kids, how do we handle social media? Because people ask that question like, hey, did you let your kids have social media when they were young? And what age did you let them have social media? So kind of talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think you and I both were, I mean, we had this conversation, and I think that there's not a one-size-fits-all with children.
Right.
Again, I think you need to, I mean, we've talked about having a PhD in previous podcasts with your child.
Have a PhD in your child.
Yep. So when you have that, when you know your child fairly well, you know, I mean, you just know their maturity level. And I just, one of the things that I've just told other parents who have questioned on the social media aspect, I've just said, well, we've agreed that, you know, once you give the social media, I mean, we've learned that with our older children, once yeah. you give it, it is extremely difficult to take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, we, at one point we were just like, man, with one of our older children, we were like, man, we probably maybe shouldn't have given it this early. So we tried to pull it back, and it was hard because I ended up finding their friends' phones that they didn't use in their bedroom
yeah.
so they could have the social media account. So, I mean, I would just encourage parents to, I mean, obviously, I mean, I think we said it was a middle school thing that is where we would start possibly allowing some of it. And then it just depended to the level of what they were allowed to get. We basically said that, you know, on some of these platforms, they had to know, physically right. know the people to allow them to communicate with them. So we didn't allow outsiders.
Right.
Remember that? I mean.
Yeah, so it had to be a private account.
And they had to physically know the person.
They had to physically know the person. Right. So if the person walked in, they'd be like, hey,
yes.
how are you? Right.
And
so,
that yeah. is how we let them start with it.
Right.
But again, it goes to the maturity of the child. I mean,
I remember some of our kids were like, they would be frustrated because they're like, why are you letting them have it so young?
Yes.
Well, they're different than you, right?
Yes.
So it's
but I still think it was a middle school age before
yeah.
we left any of that happen.
But I think you made a good point, too, and that is It's hold out for as long as you can.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Because once you let them have it, it's almost impossible to pull it back.
Yes, it's
so hold out for as long as you can, and then once they get it,
and then I think
you manage it.
It becomes a teaching tool as well. I mean, you teach them. I mean, the world is they now. What is scary for you as a parent? They now have the same platform that I have.
Yes.
And I am their parent.
Right.
Like, that is scary.
Right.
And so I think you teach them. You don't scare them so much, but I think you teach them that, you know, there are people out there that are not wanting to give good influence, right? That they want to give, again, they want to give this foolish input. So you need to have that conversation with them so they're very careful and to follow the guidelines that you put out for them.
So, I mean, so this conversation is being driven by this idea. I want my kids to listen well. I want them to listen and learn from wise people so that they can be wise and be helpful to their friends and their community and the world, right? And fundamental to this discussion is the idea that just because someone has a big platform does not mean they're worth listening to.
Exactly.
Right, yes. And that's a big deal on social media because, again, all who speak are neither equal nor worth listening to. Like, so just because someone has a lot of followers does not mean they're as significant or helpful as someone else who has a lot of followers. So I want my kids to be discerning when they listen, right?
Yes,
exactly. And that comes back to Proverbs 18:2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. So my dear children, be very careful to whom you listen or from whom you learn, right? That's a big deal.
Yep.
And on that note, I think, too, a lot of our kids in our culture today are drawing their value and basing their self-worth on how many people are listening to them. So if my kid gets on, you know, TikTok or whatever the case, whatever platform they choose, and they post a song or they post a video of themselves talking, they will oftentimes base their value on how many likes they have or how much feedback they get. And that's a big deal right now. I will tell you, as a grown adult who's well into my middle age, right, I face that too. You know, I look at comments and likes, but that doesn't rock my world. But as a younger person, that's a huge deal. So it's something to be mindful of as parents as we help them navigate their way through social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the thing. I definitely want my kids to talk. I want them to say things. I want them to be women and men of influence. But I want them to listen a lot so that when they talk, they actually have something of value to offer. Because a person who listens much is going to learn things, and they're going to be wise. And that's what I want my kids to be. I want them to be wise and helpful. I mean, you've been around those people that talk, and they just keep talking. And they get to a point where in your head you're like, please shut up. Stop talking. For the love of God, right?
Or you have that glazed over look. Like,
no,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, I've completely lost interest because you are just rambling on and on and on.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I hope my eyes are not telling you how my heart feels right now. Because
gosh,
I am so disconnected from you because you won't stop talking, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, a lot of times people that do the most talking have the least to say.
That can be true.
And so, again, just making the case, I want my children to listen so that when they talk, they have something helpful to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, let me just give you another Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, "The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their face." Right? So I want my children to listen and learn so that when they speak, they're wise and helpful. And so the question is, babe, how, if I want my kids to listen well, how do I teach them to do that?
Well, so this is what we're going to talk about today as we get into this.
In the next couple episodes as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one in particular is going to be, we as parents need to model the way first.
Yep. So we've identified as parents, we said, hey, there's three ways to teach our kids to listen and learn so that when they talk, they'll be helpful, right?
Right.
And here are the three ways. They're model the way as a parent. I'm going to model the way. Number two, I'm going to monitor their friends. And number three, I'm going to manage their calendar.
Yep.
And today we're just going to talk about the first one. We're going to talk about modeling the way. How do we teach our kids to listen well? Well, we model the way.
Yes.
Several years ago, James Coos and Barry Posner wrote a book, a best-selling book on leadership called The Leadership Challenge. And in this book, they said a leader is to show her people what she wants. She has to do it first with passion and integrity. In other words, the leader models the way it is to be done. Now, here's the truth. If you want your children to listen and to learn, you have to do it first. They have to see you, Dad. They've got to see you, Mom. They've got to see you listen to other people. Listen to other resources and learn. Yes. You have to show them how it's done. It's a big deal. So I was reading, again, through the book of Proverbs, and I found something interesting about listening. If you don't know, Proverbs is a part of a genre of literature called wisdom literature. And in this book of Proverbs, the Hebrew word for listen is used 30 times.
That's a lot.
30 times in this 31 chapter book.
Yes, that's actually, I mean, as I was thinking about this, we tend to read the Proverbs like one a month.
Right, one a day.
And one a day for a month.
Yeah.
And as I'm reflecting, I'm like, yeah, you do hear, listen, my son, or listen for instruction, or listen to be wise, or, I mean, just so many listens in there. That's a great point.
31 chapters
in
the book of Proverbs, and the word listen, or some form of the word listen, is used 30 times. And so from that, I simply draw this. Wise people listen. They just listen, right? And so there are a lot of ways to teach our children to listen. There are a lot of ways as adults we can listen. Like we can read books. We can listen to podcasts. We can watch documentaries. We can go to church. We can go to seminars.
Have personal coaches.
Hire a personal coach or a trainer, right? We can we can engage a mentor. There's always a way and there's always a place in which we can listen and learn.
Yes.
So growing up with our kids, reading was important. I love to read.
Well, it was interesting, like you love to read. And it was a lot of times you would go out on the back deck in our house in South Carolina.
Right.
And it was funny because, I mean, I would see you, all of a sudden you'd be sitting there reading with your cup of coffee. And there would be a little person right beside you.
Yeah.
With a book in hand. And they couldn't read at the time, right? But they were flipping the pages and sitting there real quiet, just right beside you. I mean, that has happened multiple times because you led the way in that.
We're just modeling the way. They're like, oh, this is what mom and dad do, so it must be the right way. It must be the right thing, right?
Yes.
Now, so just talking about books, let's just stop here for a minute. Like, first of all, not every parent likes to read.
Yes.
All right. And so, I mean, there are other ways to listen. I like to listen to a book, right? I listen to someone talking to me as I read their book. But there are other ways to do that as well. Podcasts, like
going to a seminar.
There's
lots of ways to receive.
But let's talk about books for a minute because
I think there is something good though about reading a book.
Oh, it was amazing. I'm a reader. I read. Like, it's just part of my daily rhythm is I'm going to read 10 pages every day, which allows me to read almost 2 books a month.
And I love your philosophy. I mean, just on a little tangent here, but I love how, I did not grow up reading as much as you did. So it was a little bit different for me. But you've really added that aspect into my life, which has been very helpful in me, just in my growth and my learning. But you would always say that person that wrote that book spent hours forming like this put together thought and philosophy on what they were talking about and how great it is that you get to sit down in the morning and take their best thoughts and just pour over them rather than, you could meet that person in person. Remember we talked about this and you would say you would only like over an hour's time, you could only get a little bit. But when you sit down with their book, you get like everything that they've thought through.
Well, I would say, like, if I could go out to lunch with, say, John Maxwell, like, that, it would be amazing. I'd get plenty of photos.
Right.
I'd put them all over social media. I'd be in my office.
Right.
But the information I would get from him would only be as good as the questions I ask.
Well, and he wouldn't have enough. Yeah, he wouldn't have enough time to give you.
He would only. They'd only be because he could only. He would answer the questions that I asked.
Right.
But if I sit down and just read his book,
you get the whole.
He's
going
to give me things I never would have thought to ask.
Yes.
So reading is so valuable.
Yes.
But okay. So
little tangent. Sorry.
Right. But anyways, the point is this: we wanted to help our kids to read, and for some of them that was easy. Others of them not so much.
Right.
So we did something, and we'll just throw it out here as an idea. We decided to pay them. Because we wanted them to learn to listen, so we'll give you a couple ideas. We just said, hey, we will pay you to read.
And because we wanted to establish, like I think I in particular wanted them to have this grounding that I didn't necessarily grab a hold of when I was younger.
Right.
I mean, I've read a little bit, but nothing like I could have. And so I think I wanted our children to follow more in just that whole, like, getting wise, right? And you
right.
read other people's things. So for our kids that didn't like to read, I mean, it was interesting because we would tell them we would pay them, but our kids, and we would take them to the library.
Yep.
So we'd take them to the library like once a month and they get to pick their books out and we would pay them once a month. But it was interesting because they struggled to know like what books to grab if they weren't readers, right?
Right.
Do you remember that?
Right, yep.
And so we had this conversation with them, like, well, let's just start with something that you really
something
like.
Something that you like, right.
Like, what are you interested in, you know, and just start reading from there. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, anything bigger.
So there was a point where we would say to them, hey, we will pay you $10 a month to read a book, right? So you read a book, we'll pay you $10. And we would generally have to sign off on the book. Like
They would tell us,
and it was like, and it wasn't always like some, you know, we didn't have them reading Shakespeare, but I didn't want my 13-year-old, I didn't want them, you know.
Well, remember the one they came home with? It was a picture book.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No,
they were
dude.
Like, absolutely not.
No, I'm not paying you to read a picture book because you're not
oh
even.
Oh my gosh.
But the point was, it was per person, it was age appropriate, it was.
Yes.
Person appropriate.
Yes.
So, but we'd pay them $10 a month to read a book. And then they, at the end of the month, they just have to give us one or two of their best takeaways. And then we would pay them. So the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. If you read one chapter a day, you can read the book in a month.
In a month, yeah.
And so we'd say, we will give you $1 a day to read the book of Proverbs. So.
And then remember.
Well,
hold
on. Let me finish this. So you could, we could, by the end of the month, you get $10 for reading a book. You get $31 for reading the book of Proverbs.
Because we did $1 a day.
Because we did $1 a day. And then we created a family group chat.
Yes.
And you would have to every day post your best takeaway from your reading that day.
Yes.
So again, what we're training them to do is to read and to listen.
Yes.
Listen to what you're reading
and
learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then share that. So $10 for a book, $31 for Proverbs. And then we also said, hey, when you go to church, take notes. Right? And at the end,
or a seminar. I mean,
or a
just,
seminar.
Just,
take notes while I'm speaking, like specifically about church.
Yes.
They would take notes. At the end of the service, we'd say, hey, what was your best takeaway? We'll pay you for the notes. And we would pay them $10 a month for their notes from church.
Yes.
Right? And so they could make up to $50, $51 every month
yes.
just for listening.
But, and you might be like, holy, like, wow. And it was an expense for us.
Yes.
But we chose to put that expense into our budget because we really felt like, so mom and dad, like those young years are so transformative.
Yeah,
like they,
yeah.
you, that is the time that you dump and you pour into these kids.
Yep.
You have to take that time and be very serious about it because those are the years that will form their habits. And now that our kids are in their later teens,
and early 20s, actually.
And early 20s, they are learning to take notes. We're still having conversations on the way home.
And we don't pay them anymore. Right?
No, we don't do that.
Right.
But on the way home from church, like, we're still doing our best takeaways. Like,
they'll still read a book. And one of our daughters, we're going to coffee on Sunday mornings, and we'll talk about a book that we're reading.
Yes.
Right? And I'm not paying her, but the point is, they're learning to listen. They're listening by reading, or they're listening by listening to a podcast. Or when I talk about listening, I'm talking about receiving information that will make you better.
Yes.
And that for us was an incredible investment of money into our children's well-being. We paid them to learn to listen, and it paid off.
Yes, I will say it was absolutely paid off. I mean, they just do it now as second nature.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big deal. So, so again, just encouraging your children to listen, whether it's a book or it's a podcast or it's a coach or a mentor or a seminar, whatever. And here's what I would want to encourage you. What you're looking for here is someone who's more successfully experienced than you are in your area of interest. So, for mm-hmm. instance, if I want to learn about lifting weights, I want to listen to someone who's more experienced than I am and who's successful.
Right.
I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to ask questions. And I'm going to apply their wisdom. I'm going to do what they say.
Yes.
So with our kids, like, it's always keep a pen and paper or keep your phone handy so you can take notes on what you're learning and then apply it.
Yes.
And become better.
Well, and I think, like, one of the great things, too, that we did was, I mean, our kids had journals. You know what I'm
yep.
saying? And they were able to write in those, whether it be, like, notes at church or, you know, if they're reading a book and they wanted to share something. That was a great spot for them to put their thoughts down so when it was time to share, they were able to share it. Do you remember? This is funny because I remember our kids, they would, instead of typing it into the phone, they would take pictures. Remember that? Of
yes.
their spot in their journals. It was really
yep.
nice, really
no.
cute. Yeah.
I think another way to teach your kids to listen is through criticism. You know, as an adult, you're going to receive criticism.
Yes.
And it's an awesome opportunity for you to listen to that criticism and apply it and change. Again, let me just give you two proverbs that speak to this. Proverbs 15:31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. And then Proverbs 16:20. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Now, parents, this is such a big deal. Please hold on. Just listen. Are you ready for this? All right. Your children are going to see you get criticized. From time to time, you are going to get criticized. Perhaps it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone at your work. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. And they're going to watch how you respond to that criticism. If you just turn away from that criticism and begin to complain and whine and bellyache and blame, they're going to realize, they're going to believe that's how you respond to criticism.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But if they see you take that criticism and say, you know what, maybe you're right, and you apply the criticism, and you learn, and you change, then your children are going to say, you know what, when my teacher gives me some hard feedback, even
yes.
if I don't like it,
yes.
I know how to respond to that negative feedback. I'm going to listen, I'm going to take everything from it that I can, I'm going to apply it, and I'm going to learn. Again, Proverbs speaks of this. If you listen to constructive criticism, you'll be at home among the wise. Or Proverbs 16:20, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Parents, please, for the sake of your children's future, teach your kids how to listen to criticism. Model the way. Yeah, this is a big deal. It's important that you show your children how to listen, and it's important that you show them that listening is a first step in changing, right? So, in our home, there's a couple names that are mentioned on a regular basis. It's Rob and Dave. Rob Polenik is a personal friend and a personal trainer. And Dave Ramsey is a financial guru from whom Sherry and I have learned a ton. We talk about him a lot. He's taught us a lot about finances. And we talk to our kids all of the time about these two people, Rob and Dave. You know, Rob has taught us how to eat. He's taught us how to work out. Dave has taught us how to handle our money. And they see us listening to these people and changing. And guess what? Our kids talk about Rob and Dave these days. It's a big deal. What you got?
Is it now?
It is. I don't know. You just keep staring at me with beautiful blue eyes. I'm all distracted now.
Nice.
So,
no, they really, I mean, it's cool because they know who these people are in our lives. And again, it shows them that we're not the end and all, right? I mean,
right.
We're still learning. We will always continue to learn. And I think that if our kids can see us growing, it teaches them to grow, right? I mean, I know, obviously when we were working out, we would seek counsel from Rob.
We're still working out.
Of course we are.
And we're still seeking counsel from Rob.
Yes. Well, and like, and just like, that's how we've learned to do our, like our meal preps and all right. of our, all of our stuff like that. And our kids literally see that. And guess what?
Our kids are meal prepping.
Our kids are meal prepping working and out. Working out on yep. their own. Like, yep. so it's, I mean, they are like little sponges, and they, when they're little, will just, I mean, they will soak up everything that they see us do. So
they
it's
watched
so
us,
important.
It's huge. They watched us listen.
Yes.
They watched us receive feedback.
And
they watched us make adjustments.
Yes.
They watched us change and grow. And they're like, oh, that's,
yes.
that's what it means to listen.
Yes.
I see it now.
And I mean, the same thing with Dave. I mean,
yeah.
like I will have his podcasts playing a lot. And my kids, you know, our kids know like when, that I'm learning. I'm
right.
learning from Dave as I'm listening to the podcast when I'm doing dishes. And so, I mean, and I mean, quite frankly, you know, I think to involve your kids, even when they're young, I mean, when we were working on getting out of debt, you know, we involved them in that.
Yeah.
They knew, hey, I mean, we sat down with them and we just said, hey, here's where we're at in this process. And, you know, we're not going to be spending a lot of money to eat out. We're not going to be spending a lot of money to do extra things because we want to be debt free. And so we just taught our kids that we're learning through Dave that the debt that we accumulated wasn't something that we wanted in our lives anymore. So I think, you know, you're always teaching your kids, these kinds of things all the time. Like
they literally saw us listen and learn.
Yeah.
Right, they saw us listen to good advice from
yes.
from wise people
who were successful.
Who were successful,
right?
And we learned, and
right.
they saw it. And it's so fun now to watch our older kids,
yeah, like they
listen
don't,
and learn.
Like they don't want debt, and none
no.
of them. I mean, they've bought cars, and none of them went into debt for
yep.
cars. So it's just been beautiful just to, you know, just help your kids. Like, and you know, of course, like when they were getting ready to buy their cars, you know, we were still saying, like, you know, it's tempting to want to buy a nicer car, and maybe you don't have as much money as you would have liked. But just again, reiterating, like, hey, these are the principles of a successful person who says, do not spend more, do not go into debt for a vehicle, or do not go into, you know, save your money and then go buy. And so,
right.
you know, it's been great to watch them make those choices for themselves. You know,
they literally they're doing what they saw done.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
we modeled the way, we listened and we learned and we showed our kids what that looked like. And guess what? They're doing the same thing too. And but I will tell you this too. I have not always received feedback
yes.
tremendously well. And there's been times I've modeled the way how to not receive
right.
it well, specifically from you. Sometimes you've given me feedback and I've been a little grumpy on that feedback and not received it well. And but I will tell you that the older I get, the more I'm like listening to my wife is almost like listening to God. Not
well,
exactly the same, but now I receive your feedback a lot differently, and I see as our kids see me receive that, listen, make adjustments, they do that quicker as well because we're modeling the way.
Right. Well, I mean I do think that, you know, it is really, so parents, it's really good. Like if they see you absolutely model something the wrong way, I think it's really important that they also see you go back and fix it, right?
Right, right.
Because then you're teaching them, because here's the thing, we're not going to hit 100% all the time. I'm not going to be like, I got this right all the time, because I don't. And I think for them to see, man, especially if they were there when they experienced the situation.
Right.
It's good to go back and say, hey, I didn't handle that criticism really great. And I'm really sorry. And this is the way I'm going to proceed forward with this criticism. And I think just showing them, you know, that way they have some groundwork of when they handle criticism, like we were saying, from their teacher, maybe the wrong way.
Right.
They know how to go back and correct it. And, you know, it has been really great because I've watched our kids get some criticism that wasn't right.
Right.
They were sitting in a group one time and they were acting out and got some constructive criticism about how they were behaving, and they took that the wrong way. And you know how, do you remember how they responded?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yeah. If I'm thinking about the incident that it just happened fairly
yes.
recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. They brought it home. They
yeah.
reflected on it.
Yep.
And then they went back to the individual that corrected them.
Yes.
And they actually said, you know, you were right.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Thank you for addressing me on that.
Yes.
They made changes, and we can see the changes in their little lives.
Yes. I mean, it was pretty incredible. But yeah. Again, they knew how to do that because parents, they see you model the way.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to model the way whether we're successful or we're not.
So if you want your kids to listen and to learn from the sources that they're listening to, then you have to do that. You have to do it first. You model the way for them to listen and learn. This is what it looks like, gang. So just a quick recap. These days, everybody has a voice, and it can be a significant reach. Every voice can have a significant reach thanks to social media, right?
Yes.
Thanks to YouTube, yep. Thanks to the internet. Like, everyone can have a significant reach with their voice. It wasn't that way when we were young, but it is now. It's the world in which our kids live.
Right.
Every voice can have a significant reach. And I just want my kids to know that just because someone has a significant reach does not mean they're worth listening to.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So parents, it's important that we teach our kids the value of listening to wise people. And then it's important that we show them how to listen
right.
and learn.
Right.
We're listening, we're learning from books, we're listening from podcasts, church, seminars, conferences, mentors, personal trainers, you know, whatever the case may be. And we're learning from the things we're listening to. We're growing in front of our kids. They see us doing
yes.
it, and they're like, oh, that's what it looks like to listen and learn. But it starts with you, Dad and Mom. It starts with you modeling the way to listen and learn.
Yeah. I would make a comment too about your kids and like who they're listening to. You know, the only way that you know who your kids are listening to is to have conversations with them.
Yeah, babe, that's so good.
You know, so I think parents like literally put down the, I want you to read, right? But put down the book, take the AirPods out of your ears, shut the TV off, turn down the radio. I mean, whatever it is. And literally like talk to your kids,
yeah.
you know, like ask them who they're listening to these days, or ask them what they've been watching on their phone, or, you know, I mean, ask them about their friends. You know,
we're going to talk about that next time.
But you have to have, yep. like, you have to be involved in their life because, you know, they might not just come up to you and spew a bunch of information,
They're not.
But if you are engaged with them and asking, which we should be doing as parents, right?
Yep.
We need to, when we allow them the access to that social media, then we should realize with that comes a responsibility on our part to try to, like, keep up with them on that, right?
Yeah.
As far as like asking them, you know, so tell me, you know, who are you listening to these days? Or who's your, you know, who's the person that's you're listening to a lot of? And then you can kind of help to shape and guide. And yeah, I mean, I think it's really important.
You do a really good job at that. You do a really good job about just pulling the kids in and having those one-on-one conversations. I see you do that a lot.
So I would just say capitalize on the moments, right? I mean, there are times where, you know, we can be listening to something in our ears and our kids are trying to get our attention. And we think that maybe that what's in our ears is more important than our kids. But honestly, you're shaping them. And so you got to take the things out of your ears.
Yep. And listen to them.
And listen, yeah. I mean, pay attention so that way we can be an influence, right?
Yeah.
In their lives. So
that's good.
Yeah, capitalize on those moments.
Well, the next time we get together, we're going to talk about teaching your kids to listen and learn. We're going to talk about the value of monitoring their friends, because
right.
believe it or not, their friends are teaching them a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Their friends are saying a lot of things to them, and they are listening to their friends. And so you want to monitor those people. We'll talk about that in our next podcast. But all right, babe, as we get ready to wrap up, we want to talk about some resources we have for parents. We've got a YouTube channel. Just get on YouTube, search up First Half Parenting. We've got a website with firsthalfparenting.com. We've got resources on there. We've got just a number of things you might want to just explore that website. You can also find this podcast on Spotify, Podbean, and Apple. Search for First Half Parenting. Hey, we really want to hear from you. It's encouraging to hear from you, and several of you have recently you know, giving First Half Parenting a shout out on your social media. And we absolutely appreciate that. If you haven't yet, would you go on Instagram and Facebook and just follow First Half Parenting? We're working real hard to expand the reach of this of these conversations. And so you could help us do that. In the meantime, if you have any questions, you can always send them on Facebook or Instagram, or you can even email us at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. All right, babe, as we get ready to wrap this thing up, is there anything you want to say? Send us away.
I hate when you ask me this all the time.
I know, but
at the end of every podcast.
No, but what happens is we hit stop recording, and then you say something. It's like, God, why didn't you say that in the podcast?
No, I think we've. I mean, I think we've. I mean, I've said as much as I can remember at this point.
So. Okay. Very cool. Well, guys, listen. We love you. We're rooting for you. The world needs your kids to be awesome.
Yes.
All right. So be a great parent.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.